It's the Press Play and Tape podcast, episode 4. I'm one of your hosts for this episode. It's Daz, and I have my co-host here. It is Alex, Oz Retro Gamer. How are you, mate?
I'm fantastic, Daz. Yourself, mate?
Fan-bloody-tastic, man.
And can I ask, mate, have you got the blankie on? Because it's bloody freezing.
I've got the heater on, and it's like 20 degrees in my room.
I've got the heater on as well, but by the time it warms up, man, I'm going to turn into an icicle.
Oh, mate, I kept it on all night. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's cold here in Australia at the moment, people, so yeah. Really cold.
Yeah, down under, mate. It's winter here and summer up there, wherever you are.
Pretty much. And today we have a special guest, don't we?
Oh, yes. I'm just busting for you to tell us who it is, though.
Don't bust. I need you for the show. Okay, we have Andy Goodoy from the UK and from the RGDS podcast. How are you, mate?
Not too bad, mate. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's a pleasure. The main reason why is because we are going to talk about the ZX Spectrum, and I thought, who a better person than Andy?
Yeah, I love my ZX Spectrum, guys. Absolutely love it. My favorite computer of all time.
Ah, dude, I'll talk about it when we get into that, just because I'm very fond of it as well. But, okay, let's just get into the nitty-gritty straight away. Would you like to tell the world about yourself and what you do?
Wow, I'm feeling the pressure. Okay, yeah. So I'm Andy Goddard. I'm basically a retro gamer. I've been retro gaming now for over 35 years. I've had pretty much every system and console known to mankind. Like I said, my favorite computer of all time is ZX Spectrum. And I do retro gaming podcasts. I started off the Retro Asylum podcast, did that for about 3 years, left it, and decided to give it a break. And then I've missed podcasting, so I'm doing the new one, which is the RGDS podcast. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm really enjoying doing that again, guys. So I guess that's me done.
Yeah, it gets like that, doesn't it? Like, I've had breaks from the Retro Domination podcast. It's like, oh, no, I need a few months off. I got too much on, you know, there's always personal life gets in the way and all that kind of thing. And then it's like, after a week, it's like, oh, I miss it already. and you just go back and you can't help it, pretty much. Yeah, usually a week or 2 weeks. It's like, I can't handle this. Yeah. I can't handle it. I need to jump back on. Well, look at this. This is my second one at the moment. So there you go.
I mean, I've actually retired from podcasting about 4 times. My first podcast was one called The Real Retromaniacs, which is the worst podcast ever. I retired from that after about, 2 months because I couldn't handle the editing. Then I did the one-hour monthly podcast show, quit that. Then I did Retro Asylum. But every time I sort of seem to leave it, I'm just drawn back to it. I'm addicted to podcasting.
It's fun. And you know what I found the best thing is that you meet great people on the way, and you make definitely. Great friends. And this is a good example doing the retro domination. I met Alex here, and now we're like best of buddies,
inseparable.
Man. Yeah.
it's great fun, isn't it, Daz?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I want to hold your hand, Alex.
But you're the king, man. I just
I'm not the king.
Man. You've got the charisma. You've got
I'm feeling a bit of bromance here, guys.
I love Daz.
I love Alex too. So, are we going out to dinner this weekend?
No. Come on, man. Let's just keep that off. My wife might hear it.
Sorry, my wife can. I don't care. No. All right, cool. Jeez, mate, that was a weird tangent. Other than that one.
Scrap that.
Yeah. All right, cool bananas. All right. Let's get into this ZX Specky. So, hopefully, Andy, I didn't get you off guard here, but are you able to give it a quick bit of explain the history behind it and how it started?
Oh, you did catch me completely. I had a feeling you were going to say that. I thought, well, maybe Daz has got a little bit about when the computer came out, who made the computer, the different models.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's one of the most famous British computers of all time, done by Sir Clive Sinclair. and it's so iconic, basically. And that's all the info I can give you, because I don't know much about it, but I love playing it, and I love playing the games that are out there. I mean, the most famous version is the 48K, and that's the version that I haven't got. I've got the Spectrum Plus 2, which was done by Amstrad, really. I don't know if you want to follow up on that.
Well, pretty much. Well, that's one I own, actually, the grey one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it started off with the 48K, and then it went to the, wasn't it? It was another 48K, but it was more like a harder plastic, wasn't it? Like a sort of like the toast rack.
I think it was. The original 48K was the rubber keyed one.
That's
then
right.
Another model. Then it was the 128K one, which was slightly bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And it had the added advantage of a better sound chip, because the original one had was famous for its beeper soundtracks, were just really simple beepy sort of sounds. And the 128K just really upped that. Obviously, it didn't compare to the C64 SID chip, but I'm a fan of the AY chip.
I think it's fine. I mean, I'm the big C64 fan, which people are probably sick of hearing. But I think the ZX Spectrum has a lot of charm, which is the reason why I bought one. But you had the plus three. Then there was the plus... Sorry. Oh, geez, I'm going a bit quick there. The plus two grey. And then there was the plus two black. And then the plus three with the disk drive, which is starting to sell for a bit of money. And also the 128K toast rack, I think they call it. That goes for drug money, which I was really after too. Even though it doesn't have a tape deck with it, but... Yeah, supposedly it's like the best one out of the lot.
Did you guys ever hear or see or heard of the, what's it called? The Sam Coupe, which was also known as the Super Spectrum. And it was meant to play ZX Spectrum games. It was meant to sort of like take it to the next level. But it's something that I really want to get my hands on. But I've only seen at expos.
Oh, Alex, have you heard of that?
Yeah, definitely heard of a Sam Coupe, but haven't actually seen one in the flesh here in Australia. So, yeah, man, there's... Yeah, all these computers that you would have laughed at probably years and years and years ago are now becoming, quite rare.
Do you mind if I ask you guys, how did you guys come across the ZX Spectrum? Because I know the C64 was really international. Was the Spectrum international, you know, in Australia?
Well, I've heard that, and I don't recall ever seeing it, and Daz, you were saying the same thing, yeah, about the ZX Spectrum, but I could have sworn someone in Perth was saying that they did see it in their local Meijer or whatever their department store was, but I definitely don't recall seeing it here. However, the way I came across it was in the mags, because we absolutely devoured British mags, and I would always see, you know, ZX Spectrum. I'm thinking, why would people want to play this? But the graphics always looked better than the Commodore 64, and I could never actually work it out why. But I was always intrigued to look at, you know, what the ZX got, and in a review for a game, the Commodore and the Amstrad. It was just, so that was my introduction to the ZX Spectrum, really.
Yeah, same as me. Like, I'd see it in CVG a lot, and I always preferred the C64's graphics, but I remember one time seeing Street Fighter 2 on there. I'm like, wow, look at the size of the characters and all that. I was, like, really, really surprised. But, yeah, you know, I used to see screenshots. It just looked like it had charm. It really got me interested in it. So reason why I bought one about 2 years ago, I thought, well, look, you know what? I'm going to try it out. I tried it a little bit via emulator, and I felt that it didn't do it justice. So I thought, you know what? I'm just going to go out on a whim and just buy one. So I had to import it from the UK, obviously. And I think I got it for a good price. I ended up getting it modded with a stereo output. And plugged in a SCART cable, and I'm running it through LCD, and it's crystal clear and it's beautiful, and I love the thing. I reckon it's awesome.
Can I just add there?
I mean, the graphics are so high res, aren't they?
Yeah, they're beautiful. They are. They're actually really crisp.
Sorry, Des, I was going to add. I got my ZX Spectrum from Ant Harper from Retro Games Collector. I used to always talk about it on Twitter, and he said, look, I'm going to send you a ZX Spectrum, and I thought he was kidding, but he wasn't, and lo and behold, I get a box ZX in absolute mint condition, and and he did actually ask me to make sure I take it to PAX, so I got to bring it one of these to to these events, so people can actually check it out and put it side by side with the C64. And yeah, man, yeah, looking forward to doing that.
Are you going to get it AV modded?
I'll have to talk to you, mate, offline about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
I can't do it myself, so I don't want to wreck the thing. Yeah, it's quite precious, so. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It won't be me doing it, that's for sure.
Well, you know someone, mate, so that's all right.
Yeah, 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 I do. All right, cool. So, what else can we talk about the Speccy here? All right, our favourite games, obviously. Do you have any favourites there, Andy? Are there any good, you know, good recommendations?
What, any games for the ZX Spectrum? Well, earlier on you mentioned Street Fighter 2, and I wanted to love that game because I love the arcade game. The graphics are good, but as soon as the game starts moving, it's absolutely terrible.
Shit,
the games
yes.
I do love, I'd recommend Robocop. Robocop is fantastic. It was done by Ocean, and obviously it's based on the Paul Verhoeven movie. And the game is different to the arcade game and different to the Amiga and C64 game, but I think it is the definitive version of Robocop. It is just so damn playable.
I have to agree. I thought it was really good. It's got the punching in there and everything.
It was, have you finished it?
Oh, no. I've probably played about the first level because I have the Div MMC. SD card. So it's like, oh, I want to play this now. All right, I'll play this now. That's kind of the downfall of having something like that, I think, is that you're sport for choice, and I don't think I give games enough attention sometimes when I've got something like that.
I tend to agree, because when I was a kid, although you had budget games were about $1.99 over here, and you had your full price games, which was like Robocop when they first came out, which were $9.99. But generally, when you first got a game, you'd sort of play that game non-stop until you got your next pocket money. So you wouldn't switch between games. And I find myself with emulation, I'd just play one game for a minute, then I play the next game, and I just keep on going back and forth and not dedicate any real time to any particular game.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like that. It's on any format, you know. So, yeah. Any other games?
What games would you recommend?
Oh, jeez. Okay. See, the thing is with me, I would choose games that I knew, like from the C64, and sort of compare. And just personal choice. Like I found a lot of the conversions better on the C64, maybe because I grew up with it. But the standout games that I found was obviously Chase HQ.
Yeah, I was going to mention that one.
That's phenomenal. I freaked out. I go, how the hell did they do this on the Speccy? It was just seamless. It plays beautifully. And I have to give special credit to the Amstrad version as well. That's pretty impressive as well. But I prefer the Spectrum version over the Amstrad one.
Yeah, I think it plays that a little bit faster. It's not as colourful, but I think it's also got the better audio as well, because it uses the beeper and it also uses the AY chip, whereas I think the Amstrad only uses the music from the AY chip, so it hasn't got that sort of stereo sound feel to it.
That's exactly right, yeah. Mm. Yeah. Exelon, I was really happy with. I preferred that over the C64 version.
Never played it.
Oh, wow, dude. Play it's such a good game. It's a Houston game.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, check that out. It's actually really good. The C64 version was very Amstrad mixed with Spectrum. It's sort of a mix of both, and it plays well on that. Spectrum one's just a little bit more smoother. Plays really well. So I highly recommend it. Also Zynapse was another one I was impressed with. I actually liked that.
That rings a bell, but again, I've not played that either. What are you surprised me with all these games?
it's another Houston game. I found Houston actually did really well in the Speccy.
Oh, they did. They were one of the big main companies that came out with some of the best games from the ZX Spectrum.
Yeah, it's like there's not much. I didn't really notice any color clash. The scrolling was really nice. And yeah, well, they're the ones at the top of my head that I can think of. There aren't that many. Oh, actually, Commando, the 128K version is really good. I really like that.
Yeah, I mean, it plays really fast. I find it a lot more. I don't know. I find it better than the C64, although the C64 plays faster and it's tougher, and the music's a lot better. But I prefer the for the specy version because I find it easier.
Yes, it is easier. It is easier. I've found the 64 version to be, for me personally, the main home port you're going to get out of any system, for me personally. Just that music just drives you. Mm. Well, that's, you know, I guess that's what we all grew up with. Do you have any? Because I'm trying to think that, Andy, I think you probably know a bit more than me.
I mean, I've got loads of games that I absolutely love, but I mean, I could go on forever. You've got games like Pang, and I think Pang is such an amazing conversion, again, done by Ocean. And although it's monochrome, and a lot of people are put off by the monochrome graphics on the ZX Spectrum or Color Clash, but it is pretty much identical to the arcade game, and it is two players. Then you've got games like Rodland, another arcade conversion, fantastic. Enduro Racer.
Yep.
R-Type again is another one, which is fantastic. The Spectrum really specialized in sort of like arcade conversions. Mm-hmm. And one that I was playing recently as well was Rampage. Mm-hmm. And what I love about Rampage is it's three players. And, you know, it's amazing how you can play three players. And if you're ever by yourself at home, you could also have two computer-controlled characters playing along with you. So you never really felt like you're by yourself when you're playing that game. But there's thousands of games on the ZX Spectrum, you know.
Yeah, I was
absolutely thousands of classics.
Yeah, so and I guess that's what made me like the computer a lot. It's because it reminded me a lot of the 664. So, and I really got onto it really easily. I loved it, and I still do. I think it's a great machine, and yeah, I won't regret importing one. So yeah, Alex, do you have anything?
Sorry, mate.
No, go for it.
No, I was just gonna say, what did you guys think of the Color Clash though? Because a lot of people are put off by Color Clash, like the Retro Hunter from Retro Asylum. He will not play the ZX Spectrum because of the Color Clash and the monochrome graphics.
It's part of its charm. That's it. That's the system. I mean, look at the Game Boy.
Oh, definitely.
It's,
yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a giant Game Boy. That's what the spec is. Yes, I mean, look, you have to take it for what it is. I mean, you can't, you know. It kind of annoys me that people complain about that type of stuff. It's like, focus on the gameplay first.
The price and the year, man. You got to remember that. So, I mean, imagine if they put everything into it back in 1982. It would have been cost out of the market. No one would have bought it, so...
Mm-hmm. Well, wasn't it really cheap, the 48K rubber key?
Yeah, that's the thing. The 48K was designed to be the ultimate home computer. It was meant to be affordable because before that, home computers, they just cost so much. They weren't affordable. And that was the smart thing that Clive Sinclair did. He released this computer that anyone could have. And he designed it so simple that everyone could have one. And that was his mission. He wanted everyone to have one at home. Have you guys seen that film, Micromen?
Yeah, sure. No. That was awesome. Daz, you haven't seen it?
No, I know of it, but I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, man. No,
you need to check it out. Right.
The great war between Acorn and, the ZX. That was great.
What's it about, Alex?
Clive Sinclair and, I can't remember the guy that started up Acorn, but so they had a falling out, and he started Acorn, and I think they were trying to get the contract for the BBC Micro. And all the behind the scenes stuff that went on, the actual storyline's great, and a few good actors in there, and I'm just trying to think of the guy that plays
it's Martin Freeman.
Yeah, that's it, Martin Freeman. I was going to say The Hobbit, but man, it's you've got to watch it, Des. So I reckon after this, mate, don't go back to bed. Put it on and watch it.
I might as well.
I mean, I'd recommend it because, I mean, if you love the Spectrum, it's so much history and it tells you, you know, exactly what he was going through. And Clive Sinclair was such a crazy character as well. He was really intense, really over the top. And the actor that played him was fantastic, you know. So it just really makes me think, what was it like being around that time when this machine first came out, you know? It must have been mind-blowing.
Isn't he still crazy? Isn't he, like, I don't know much about him, but isn't he, like, got, like, a 20-year-old wife and stuff?
I don't know, but yeah, I wouldn't call that crazy. I'd just call that, yeah.
I guess. It's not crazy, is it?
There was actually a scene in the movie where he gets propositioned by three lovely lasses. I don't know if you remember that, Andy, but I think he's doing a speech at some university, and it was a subtle proposition. And you see him raise his eyebrow, and it's like, oh, okay, obviously. I think it's a G-rated movie, so no, it didn't go that way. But I thought, oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that was true or not, but it was thrown into the film. So
did he take him for a ride in his CX-5? Specky car?
CX-5?
Have you guys actually ever gone on a C5 before?
No.
Well, I have. There was an expo at Play Expo, and they had a C5. And I tell you what, it's the most uncomfortablest thing ever. Really flimsy. You could push it over. And I don't know why Clive Sinclair, this mastermind of the ZX Spectrum, thought that this thing would work and everyone would be driving these. I don't know what made him think this, but that was his downfall, really.
Yeah, that's interesting, actually.
Is that battery powered? Or is it...
Yeah, it's battery powered, and it's also like pedal as well, so you can sort of pedal along as well. And the handles are just by your side, so you can control it just by your legs. And it's just, it's really difficult to control. But yeah, if you ever get the chance, go on one of them. Oh, and there is a ZX Spectrum called C5 Clive, which I'd recommend just for checking out, because it's just, it's a fun, silly little game.
Wow. Okay.
That'd awesome. Be good, yeah.
Okay.
But, Andy, I was going to ask, with the ZX80 and the 81, were they, obviously not as popular, but did they actually get it going, I guess, to lead up to the ZX Spectrum?
Yeah, I mean, the ZX80, again, okay, it didn't have much of an impact, but when the ZX81 did come out, it did really sort of like hit us up here big time, because it really impressed us with graphics at the time, and that was like the predecessor to the ZX Spectrum, so people just thought of that, and then they had to get the ZX Spectrum, so yeah, quite a lot of people had that, and it's a great system. Have you guys got one?
No.
No, I haven't got any of those ones.
They've got some amazing games for that as well. You know, really some amazing games for that. You know, I prefer the Specky, but you can see how it evolved onto the Specky.
Mm-hmm. Well, is it Jim Bagley?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, didn't he convert Dragon's Lair on that?
He's like either a genius or a madman, or a combination of both, because how on earth do you come out with an idea? I mean, you can think, oh, let's make it come out for a more powerful system, but... Mm. It's only got 16K, and that's with the memory extension. Without it, I think it's only 1K, I think. So I don't know what made him think, you know, let's do it. But I've seen it. I've seen it running, and it's beautiful. It's absolutely stunning.
So it's actually really playable. It's smooth.
Yeah, it is. You know, you can see it. Obviously, it's a very small screen, and it's just like the compressors that he used. And it's stunning, and he's selling these, you know. So I would highly recommend that everyone check it out and get one of those. I hope he does one for the ZX Spectrum, because I think it would work on a ZX Spectrum.
Hmm. Yeah, I freaked out when I first saw that. I go, wow. That just, wow.
I thought it was just someone messing around, you know, like sometimes you get on the internet, sometimes people post little hoax things.
Yeah.
And then I sort of found out it really was. And when I saw it there at Play Expo, I just couldn't believe it. And then he started telling me all about it, and, you know, it completely went over my head, but I was just blown away by just how amazing it looked. Stunning thing. Absolutely stunning. You should get him on the podcast one day. It's a really nice bloke, Jim Bagley, and he is one renowned best ZX Spectrum programmers out there. He did some classics.
Yeah, actually, I wouldn't mind. Yeah, he seems pretty chatty, so yeah, hopefully we have him on. Yeah, good idea, actually. All right, cool. any more recommendations before we go into our next segment? Any more all game?
Right. I've got one more that I'd highly recommend. It's personally one of my favorite games of all time, and again, it's probably one of the greatest arcade conversions ever, and that is Bombjack. Now, that was done by Elite, and again, the graphics... I'm sort of a mixture between monochrome, and it's got some color in the background, but it's all about playability. Again, it is the arcade game, minus the music, but all the playability is there, and it is pretty much perfect. I still play this game to this day, and I find myself losing like half an hour or an hour of my time, because that's how addictive it is. It's superb. Have you played it, Dan?
A little bit.
I'm not a fan?
No, I'm not. I actually really like the C64 one, even though it's a bit...
Blasphemy.
Yeah,
blasphemy,
I love it. Mate. I reckon it's fast, and the sound is... I love the sound on it.
The music is the best thing about the C64 version, Daz. But, I mean, if you played the arcade game was pixel perfect.
Yeah.
But the C64, the sprites were too big and the controls aren't as responsive. Honestly, give the ZX Spectrum version a bit more time and you'll see how much in control you are of the character itself and how even if you just brush across, you know, like one of the enemies, unless you really crash into him, you won't actually die like you do in the C64 version.
It's one of those games that I grew up with, and it was actually the first... Like, the first time I played Bomb Jack was on the C64, not on the arcade. So it's what I was used to, and I love it. I still love it. Mm. I love the arcade version. I actually can destroy that game. I actually can get a really good score. But okay, for you, I'll jump on the Specky one again, and I'll let you know, and I'll give it a fair go. How does that sound?
Yeah, all sounds right. Perfect.
I
recommend it.
Cool, Alex.
Now, I was going to ask Andy, actually, schoolyard arguments, man. We always ask people that are on this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So back in the day, mate, obviously you were in the ZX Specky corner, mate. But, yeah, how did all those arguments go? Or how did you fare in those arguments, I guess?
To be honest with you, it was something we called the 8-bit wars. I've also got a video series on YouTube called the 8-bit wars where I compare the ZX Spectrum, Amstrad, and C64. But... back in the 80s, early 80s, you were either in one camp. You were either in the ZX Spectrum, C64, Amstrad, and those were the three main computers. And it was like gang warfare, basically. You know, like I was a Spectrum owner. Originally, I admit it, I wanted a C64, and my parents, they ordered one from the catalogue, and they ordered a ZX Spectrum by mistake. And in the end, I was forced to love buying ZX Spectrum. But by then, I wanted to defend it and would have some major arguments with these C64 owners, Amstrad owners. And sometimes they would get, you know, sort of into fistfights at school. It's all crazy, though. But, you know.
Wow. Wow. I was actually going to ask, how did you actually come to get the ZX? But you just answered that question. That's magnificent. So he was going to be a C64, but by mistake and by, I guess, good luck, you got the ZX.
Yeah, I mean, but again, it's just, I'm so happy I've got the ZX Spectrum now. I mean, I like I said, I wanted the C64. I was lucky enough a few years later to have experienced the C64 because one of my cousins gave me, you know, his C64. And then again, one of my other cousins gave me his Amstrad because they were getting like, a little bit older and they were moving on to different systems. So I was lucky to have all of them. But I mean, honestly, the arguments at school were like, oh, the Specky's got color clash, the Specky's got rubbish sound, and would say, well, the C64 is really blocky, the C64 colors are dull. And if you had an Amstrad, you know, like, we could make fun of the Amstrad owners. Anyone could. Felt sorry for them the most, though.
Yeah, you know. That system can be a bit, you know.
Oh, let's not.
Especially yeah, we're not going to go
the
there.
Amstrad, the green screen.
Yeah. The worst one. It's funny that we're talking about this because our last episode was about the Amstrad, so. sorry, Paul. Nah.
And also the mags, Andy. I know we absolutely loved the British mags here, and I know Crash was huge. What were the biggest mags around that time, and what did you actually like to read?
Well, I mean, okay, you mentioned Crash, and Crash was a fantastic magazine. That personally was one of my favorites. I loved the review style. I liked the reviewers. It was fantastic. I liked the way it was just so well written as well. But then you had other magazines like Sinclair User. You had Your Sinclair. And again, it was a rivalry between these magazines. They were all sort of like having in-jokes against each other, and they were all sort of like trying to compete against each other. But for me personally, Crash Magazine just did it. It was cooler. Where the other ones just seemed a little bit more lame in so many ways. But again, the magazines had cover tapes again, and that's another way how they competed with each other, because you'd have cover tapes, and some of these games had like about, some of these tapes had like about, what, 6 or 7 games on each of them? So it depended which magazine had the best games you'd buy. So sometimes you wouldn't even have to buy games, but you just have to buy these magazines, and you'd get these, you know, sometimes classic games like Rampage or whatever else.
That was great. Yeah, I know. I remember we used to always get them 3 months after you guys, mate. So if you were reading the latest issue, July, we won't be getting July until about October. So
we're I had no idea you guys got it there.
We pretty much emulated what was happening in the UK. So everything that was happening there was happening here. So we didn't get onto the consoles until very, very late in the 80s. Early 90s, really, and but up until then it was Commodore and Atari STs and Amiga and whatnot. But the magazines, and to this day I still prefer British magazines. I love reading Retro Gamer.
Oh yeah.
even though it's a little bit pricey to buy it in the flesh. So that's the unfortunate thing to live in Australia, because yeah, they factor in obviously getting it across here, and then they put a premium on it, and the British pound is so strong, and our Aussie dollar is battling.
Very much so.
Yeah, it is actually. Actually, Andy, one more thing. Sorry, mate. Earl's Court. Yeah, I remember I used to always read about some show going on at Earl's Court. And I used to think, man, what is this place? I'd love to go to that place. I don't know if they had game shows there. Oh, sorry, not game shows. Like game events and expos at Earl's Court.
If it's the one I'm thinking about, it's the one where all these programmers, they used to go down to Earl's Court. Because I remember speaking to the Oliver twins, you know, who made games for Codemasters. And they went to these things in Earl's Court. And this is where you could buy games, you could sell games, and you could make your connections. And it used to be like a yearly thing. And it was like the big thing. This is how you traded games. Because before, you could buy games like in sort of retail shops. You could also buy games in these expos as well before that they became available. And certain things. That's another thing that they covered on that from Bedrooms. Micromen. That at first you could only get these games from these expos. It was amazing, you know.
That's right. It was like the E3 of the 80s, I guess.
Yeah, but it was more like sort of these programmers just selling these physical copies to you. So you could actually go down there. Say, for example, you spoke to Richard and David Darling. You'd go out to the store, you'd talk to them. They'll try and sell you the game. They'll sell you the game. And you'd actually buy the games off the guys that were actually producing these, which was amazing. And apparently the Oliver twins, that's how they got in contact with Richard and David Darling, by going to one of these expos. And they sort of like, you know, talked to each other, compared notes, and exchange numbers, and that's how they ended up working for them, apparently.
Oh man, I love those stories. These coders in their rooms coding away, and then unbelievable. I love it. I love all that history. Can't get enough of it.
See the games I created in the bedroom.
What games are those?
No, I'm joking.
This is for kids to hear as well.
What are you talking about?
Come on, man. Otherwise, we're going to have to put adults only on this podcast.
Yeah, I guess. I was going to elaborate, but I won't.
Beep that out, mate. Just bleep it out.
All right, cool. Well, that's it about the Speccy. We're going to go into our publisher choice.
Yeah. Whose turn was it?
It was your turn.
My turn? Are you kidding me?
It was your turn, remember?
Yeah, it was. And I remember I chose one company and, it was sort of, I had a change of heart. So we've gone with Codemasters for this podcast. And, we'll let Andy go first, I guess, he can give us his picks of great Codemaster games that he likes and disliked as well, if you like. And, then we'll go on to you, Daz. So how does that sound?
Alright,
so what are we doing? We're doing our favourite ones then.
Favourite and worst. Take your pick. If you've got some really bad ones that you've experienced and they've burnt you from, or your.
I've got some controversial one, guys. I've got some controversial. Some people might like these games, but there's games that other people like, which I really didn't like. But Codemasters basically is my favourite company on the ZX Spectrum. I mean, I know they're still going now, but for me, Codemasters will always be the seller of these budget games, and that's what appealed to me, and that's just why I love Codemasters, because you could get games for $1.99 and there was something for everyone, and they were churning these games out pretty much every week. So alright, my favourite game then, I'll give you one. It's really predictable. I'm going to have to go for Fantasy World Dizzy. Absolutely love that game.
Yep, so great choice.
It's the greatest Dizzy game there is. It's the third Dizzy game in the series. It did everything that the Dizzy games had done before, but really upped it. I mean, the first Dizzy game, as much as I love it, it was ruined for the fact that you could only carry one item. The second Dizzy game, again, was even better, but it was ruined by the fact that you only had one life, and the inventory system wasn't that great. So if you were underwater, if you clicked on the button by mistake, you would die. But the third Dizzy game just did it so right, and it is, in my opinion, the ultimate Dizzy game. It's just the right length. You've got the Yolk folk in there. It's amazing music. Oh, I absolutely love this game. What do you guys reckon of it?
I know I've played it, but I sort of lose track on which one's what. So, if you know what I mean. Yeah, you know what I mean. But I can sort of bring up part two, because that drove me insane with the one life.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
Oh,
drove
God.
Me insane.
Yeah.
But it might be a shock to a lot of people, which is my favourite Dizzy game. And it's on the C64 version, only because I've played it a lot. Mm-hmm. Don't shoot me, because I know a lot of people think it's stupid. It's stupid for a lot of people, but I love it. It's Bubble Dizzy. I love it.
Wow. Even though
it's not a Dizzy game, but if you know what I mean.
I can hear the boobs already.
Yeah, I love it. I just love it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy. That's a really exquisite taste.
That is a weird one, because I had that as one of my controversial ones, actually, Des.
Yeah, well, there you go. It's controversial that I like it.
I just found it so infuriating, because all you had to do was jump on bubbles and just try and get to the top. I didn't find it had the same appeal to games like Rainbow Island, where it was just designed in a certain way. This game just seemed really rushed. It just seemed, I don't know, they took a really basic game and just thought, how can we make this better and appeal to people? Well, let's throw Dizzy onto it. And yeah, it didn't do it for me, unfortunately. It really didn't.
Which version are you referring to, though?
Oh, any version. Absolutely any version. Even when the Bubble Dizzy bit appears on a Sega Mega Drive game, I hate that bit of the game. I really can't stand it, because I find it so infuriating. Just when I'm just reaching the top of the screen, all of a sudden the bubble pops and I'm right back down at the bottom. It's, oh man, it drives me insane.
Yeah, it's hard.
You guys can sense my anger, I'm sure of it.
Yeah. I know it's hard, and I know it's, you know, infuriating and everything else, but I just don't know why I like it so much. I just like it a lot. It's there. Yeah, I can't explain it, but anyway. All right, keep going, Andy.
All right, so what do you want me to tell you? Another favourite or another one that I don't like?
Oh, whatever, mate, whatever.
All right, another one that I absolutely love is a game called Rockstar Ate My Hamster, and this was done by Colin Jones, and he's one of my heroes. I mean, I was lucky enough to interview him, and he's one of the nicest people I've ever talked to online, and just sort of just so nice, just really humble man. And when I was talking to him about this game, it really made me want to play the game even more. And for those that haven't played this game, it's basically like a rock band management simulator, and it's just so easy to go into, and it's got all these 80s parody icons. So you've got guys that are based on like Michael Jackson, Madonna, Prince, and you've got to try and either put the ultimate supergroup together or just your single solo star, and you've got to try and name your records. And it's all about like providing your artist with like musical equipment, or where you're going to perform in a pub, in a college, or like in a big stadium, and it all costs money. And it just sounds more complicated than it actually is, but it's so much fun. I've never finished it because all my rock stars end up committing suicide, which is like, maybe it's the way I'm playing it. I don't know, you know? It's fantastic.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, 100%. I think it's a phenomenal game. I loved it. I'd play it so much as a kid. So, yeah.
Who did you have in your supergroup then? Like, which characters did you
I used to always pick, obviously, I can't remember their names in the game, but I used to have Alice Cooper, Freddy, Lemmy.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
And it was four, wasn't there? Because I think I used to get Madonna sometimes.
Yeah, you could also get characters like David Bowie, you could also get characters like Freddie Mercury, and it's just, the amount of parody characters are there. I'm surprised that I always said to him, it's like, weren't you guys worried that you guys would get sued for this? Mm. And they said, no, we didn't even think that far ahead. We just made the game and no one ever said anything. So it was just off the radar, but it's so playable. And I'm thinking, why hasn't this game been remade? Why isn't this game out there? And I keep saying to Colin Jones, you've got to make this game again. You have to. You really do. I think it would work so well on the iPhone.
It would, wouldn't it? Mm. It would. No, it's great. It's great. Totally agree with you. Okay, do you have any that you weren't happy with? You've already covered it, haven't you? Bubble Dizzy,
well,
I guess.
I mentioned one, which was Bubble Dizzy, but there's another one which is meant to be an iconic game on the ZX Spectrum, and I love the cover art, and this is BMX Simulator. Now, at the time, I must have been about 11 years old. I loved BMXing. It was the cool thing. Everyone loved BMXing, and the cover art was this guy on this BMX, and it just looks so amazing. And at the back it said actual Spectrum screenshots. Although it's monochrome, I just thought, wow, they're really selling this to me. And when I got home, loaded up the game after about 5 minutes of it loading, an amazing loading screen though, don't get me wrong, beautiful music, I think it was by Dave Whittaker, and then the game started, and it's just so basic. All you do is just, it's like, how would you describe it? It's like a top-down view, and you just have to go around a little circuit, round the circles.
Yeah, like Super Sprint, if you played Super Sprint, but a lot smaller.
Yeah, but it's not as good as Super Sprint. I always thought it was inferior because it was so hard to get around the track and you could crash into things. The only redeeming feature was the replay thing, but it took me forever just to get off the first level. I've got an absolute hatred for that game because it didn't do what BMXing was supposed to do. It really just didn't work for me.
Fair call. I can see how it can annoy you because I grew up, again, the C64 version. I loved the music. The graphics looked really nice, but I persevered, and I didn't mind it. I mean, I can understand why people won't like it, but, you know, again, you know, back in the day when you've got so many games, which is bugger all, you have to make do with what you have, and I persevered with that, and not that I finished it, but I enjoyed it.
But, yeah, I mean, just for me, I just thought there were better games or that type, games that had been done, that just played a lot better, that were more playable, and I just thought, okay, it was a budget game, and it just didn't work as well as it should have done, I thought. Like, Simulator, I thought was better in my eyes.
See, I never played that. I remember actually seeing some videos with the Oliver Twins showing, you know, like a playthrough, and I was like, oh, I don't remember this game. It wasn't a game that was quite common here, I don't think, but yeah, it's pretty much like Super Sprint.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Oliver Twins told me that they nearly got into trouble for that because the game was so similar to Super Sprint. I think some lawyers were contacted and, like, they managed to resolve a few situations. But, again, it's a great little game, and that game had some amazing sampled speech as well.
Yeah, there you go. All right, cool. All right, we'll go on to me quickly. Favourites. Okay, like I said before, obviously Bubble Dizzy, I really liked it. What was there? There's a few out there. Like, the odd Dizzy game, obviously. CJ Elephant Antics, I really liked a lot. That was a cool platformer. Yeah, really liked that. I have to say that the actual Amstrad version of Super Robin Hood was thought was very, very good. That was actually the first Amstrad game I played.
So, it's the best version out of all of them, Des, honestly. Yeah. The Spectrum version's okay, but the Amstrad version, I said this to the Olivers, that was one of the first games they've made, and it's phenomenal, mate. Absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, it's such a good game. The 64 one, don't even touch it. Horrible. Oh my god, it's bad. But, yeah, it's funny, because we interviewed them, probably about 2 years ago on the Retro Domination podcast, and I was mentioning about the speech in it. I go, you know, that was just that stuck in my head, you know? I want to hear that again. That's right. It was actually the first game I bought for the Amstrad when I just got one recently as well, because I wanted to relive, you know, my childhood. And yeah, it was their mum. So I thought,
really?
Yeah. You can see that was our mum. That was their mum that did the speech and that. So that's pretty cool. Jeez, how can I say? Yeah, Rockstar Ate My Hamster. I really loved it. But, jeez, I could be wrong. I think I should double check. So it could be Mastertronics, but it's a game, Red Max.
I don't know. That doesn't ring a bell when it comes to the Codemasters, really.
Yes, it is Codemasters. Yes, Red Max. Yes, hard as nails. But I loved it. Yeah, it's a budget, obviously another budget game. Think of BMX Simulator,
right?
But in an open world.
Wow, okay, I'm going to have to check this out. Because
you have to defuse mines. It's really hard to control. It's infuriating.
Right, okay.
David Darling, it says, was made by?
One of the owners of the, one of the Darling brothers, yeah.
There you go. So, try it out. Look, it's, I reckon a lot of people will pick it up and play and think, oh, nope, nah, too hard. It is, it's really, really hard. Really hard, but it's cool. I know, it's like, again, one of those games that, you know, so many when you're a kid, you make do with what you have, and but I actually like it a lot. Dislike, boy, that's a hard one, you know.
I had the same problem, guys. I couldn't think of many games that I disliked on the Codemasters because I love quite a lot of these games because I played them non-stop.
Yeah, I can't really say which ones I've disliked, to be honest. Because, look, I haven't played all of them, so... Okay, dislike... All right, I'll go for Super Robin Hood on the
C64. Yeah.
Because, that's the one that stands out for me. So, yeah. All right, I'll move along. Alex!
Well, thank you. Actually, what I should have done is just given a brief overview of Codemasters. Obviously, the Darling brothers, Richard and David, starting it in 1986. What I didn't know was they actually worked for Mastertronic prior to that, so no wonder I always always get confused. I thought they were one and the same, Codemasters and Mastertronic. But, yeah, man, look, for the sake of not repeating, because I can see a few people actually saying a few of the games that I liked, well, I still do, I guess. I did like playing BMX Simulator on the C64, and I liked another bike game called ATV Simulator, which is one of those...
Oh, I love it.
It's probably one of those throwaway games now, but I remember just spending hours and hours and hours playing it with my cousin, just racing across the screen and, you know, falling off. And I just love the ragdoll effect, and it just felt so fluid. And, I just loved playing it. And, again, I think it was one of those, cheap games, but played it to death. So they're the two that stand out. And the others I won't mention because I can see a lot of people actually mentioning games that I'm pretty sure you guys will either agree or disagree with. But, there's a lot of games that were quite good from Codemasters, and, like yourselves, struggled to find. I actually can't even pick one that that seared my mind thinking, no, this is crap. So everything I've experienced has been actually pretty cool, pretty good.
I mean, you can't really complain for what the price they were.
Absolutely, yeah. And if you did, you're a mug. And I remember people complaining, even, pirating games at school, and then people would complain, but it's like, dude, you're getting it for free, just relax. Some games were absolutely awful, right? Especially those full price games where, an arcade conversion and turns out to be a travesty, Double Dragon. I'm not looking at you. I always bring that up. I always bring up Double Dragon. I remember shelling out $40 for the disc, and it was just, I've still got it because my sister bought it for me, but if I'd bought it for myself, I would have burnt it by now. It was absolute shocker. But, you can't complain. Codemasters were awesome publishers. They were,
Oh, there's one exception, like when we were talking about Firebird, last episode was, Chimera, so...
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I'm not sure if you had a listen, Andy, about with our last episode, but our featured developer was... our publisher was Firebird.
Okay, yeah. One of my other favourite companies.
Well, yeah, there was one game there, Chimera. I don't know if you've played that.
It rings a bell.
But yeah, erase it from your brain. Because, I went crazy, and I actually, after like an hour of having the game, after I bought it, I actually ripped out the disc and cut it into pieces with scissors.
Wow. That much hatred for it.
Oh, I'm getting high blood pressure as we speak.
I did want to mention one thing, guys. I don't know if you guys got it over there, but what always amazed me, and I thought it was so futuristic at the time, it sounds weird saying this, but Codemasters was one of the first companies that implemented CDs on your home computer systems, because Codemasters, you did your Dizzy collection, you had all these classic Codemaster games on one CD that you could play on your CD player. And I always wanted to get one of these, but I never got one. I've only seen them on YouTube now, but I regret not getting one. I might have to pick one up on eBay, but they were so far ahead of their time. I mean, I never thought it'd catch on, and look at it now, you know?
Yeah, I remember seeing them back in the... Jeez, I think it was CVG I saw them on as well. But yeah, I don't think they were out here. Did you ever see them, Alex? Do you know what he's talking about?
Yeah, I remember seeing actually a Rainbow Arts compilation from Germany, and you just whack it in your CD player using the phono connectivity or the auxiliary, I think, straight into the C64. But no, I never saw it.
Sorry, Alex. So it's pretty much like running your iPod.
Yeah.
Okay, so it uses it like that. Okay.
Yeah. So it makes a screeching sound, so obviously the computer can actually read really content. But yeah, man, I reckon it'll be cool. But yeah, they hardly come up. And the last one I saw went for a lot of money in, I think it was in Germany. So yeah, it's one of those things that I'll probably never acquire. But yeah, it's cool. Wouldn't mind actually seeing it in the flesh. And, yeah,
I think Rob Caparuto has one.
Oh, yes, I think you're right. Yes.
Yeah.
I will. We'll grab him next time we see him, and we'll say, mate, pull it out now. The CD, that is.
The CD, yes. All right, cool. All right, let's move along. Let's go into our wall. Did you ask the question on your Twitter?
I did, Alex? Daz. And I've got quite a few, mate, so you can go and read the wall.
Oh, cool.
I'll go on to Twitter.
Okay. I'll be reading the Press Play and Tape podcast wall. I'm silly. I actually did it last minute, and I forgot to do it earlier, so... I apologise. So there's only a few here. Graham W. Wopke. Hopefully that's correct, Graham. I apologise if that's wrong. The Dizzy series of games, BMX Simulator, Slicks and Codemasters titles I enjoy. Actually, I should say that the question was, what are your favourite Codemasters games? So I should have explained that before. Rob Caparuto. Slicks by far. Kamikaze is also a darn solid one. In fact, the releases that Ash and Dave did, Digital Design, tended to all be rather fun efforts. And he's also replied again, though got to add Crystal Kingdom Dizzy for being a terrible port for once. Cool. Ryan Heaps. Dizzy 2, BMX Simulator. There you go, Andy. He likes it. CJ and Seymour Stuntman Slicks and Red Max. Good man. Mark Kassa, fellow podcaster, RD. BMX Simulator, Micro Machines. First one was on the Amiga 2, so it counts. And some of their later console racing games. Okay, thank you, Mark. Go for it. Alex.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, that's it.
Interesting enough, I actually got a response from Mr. Brian Bagnall, who's writing the Amiga years. So if you guys have read Commodore Company on Edge or...
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow, yes.
Yeah, so he said huge output of good games from Codemasters, but surprisingly few stuck on me. Slicks, Frankenstein Jr. looked interesting. So there you go. That's Mr. Bagnall. Mads Darrow Christensen, Dizzy and Micro Machines. Yeah, definitely. And we didn't actually specify Codemasters pre-console days, so some of these might be console ones. As per usual, Freakin' Frankie, all C64. He's got Mr. Angry, one of my all-time fave C64 games. I don't think I've played it. Have you, Daz?
Never heard of it.
I've not heard of it. I've not heard of that one.
Slicks, Thunderbolt, Tilt. And then he says, and the obvious Dizzy and Seymour games, of course. We've got Cameron Davis, Gazunta, Blow the Cartridge, Micro Machines. And he says, come on, why was there no C64 port? Damn it. I agree. Stacey Borg, Dr. Curly Tech. It was Vampire on the C64. That's another game I haven't actually played.
I've heard of Vampire. It's not bad.
Okay.
Not bad.
Okay.
I've played it once or twice myself. I need to give it another go.
Jeez, I feel like a clown here. I'll take note and I'll definitely want to play these for sure. Alistair Walker, Slicks and the often forgotten Spike in Transylvania.
Yes. Yes. How did I forget that?
There we go.
Oh my god, that's probably my favourite Codemasters game. How did I forget?
So does that mean Daz, you're gonna edit and put it back into your?
I absolutely love that game. I was actually searching for it just over a week ago, if not more. I couldn't remember the name of the game. Like, I really want to play it, and I finally found it. I had to go through what's it called? Is it C64 Game Base? I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those, and I was just searching through everything, every game. And then I finally ran into it, and yeah, wow. Sorry.
There we go. No, man. That's your reaction says it all, I guess. Retro Soups, Micro Machines 2 on the Mega Drive. Controller ports on the cartridge, c'est magnifique. There we go. Jay Robs, who I'm pretty sure he's an ex-UKer, living in Australia now. Dizzy Collection on the Speccy. Toka and Colin McRae. Best is Micro Machines, Master System or Mega Drive. And he says there's plenty more. Of course there is. Nakamura Martin. Martin on Twitter. They only published it, but MTV Music Generator 2 and the music series in general. Ah, there we go. That's from left field. And that was it, sorry. Yeah, so Martin was our last entry there. So I think I do have MTV Music Generator. I don't think I've actually put it on.
It's a great little PS1? Game. Yeah, on the PS1 it was. I think that then the follow-ups came up on the PS2. But what I've realised from these Twitter sort of like feedback things, so like I must be the only person in the world that hates BMX Simulator. The amount of hatred I'm going to get back from this. Maybe I need to play it again.
That's all right. But maybe, I mean, I don't know. Daz, have you actually played the Speccy version?
No, I haven't. So I'm going to have to try it then.
I was going to say, yeah, try that and then play it on the C64. But look, back in those days, I reckon any game that was, you know, half playable, we would have thought it was, you know, it deserved 100%. So, yeah, I mean, I still like playing it, but that's because it brings me, you know, it brings me back to my childhood days. So, yeah, but there are some games that I know definitely Daz likes that I probably wouldn't even, you know, spend 2 seconds on. So, each to their own, I say.
That's it.
Oh, yeah.
All right, cool. Well, this brings us to the end.
Daz.
This what? Is the end, my only friend, the end.
Why? Why do you have to pull a plug, mate? Why? Can't we just talk all day and, you know, and Andy can talk through the night in the UK while we have lunch here and... No, I'm joking. Go, Jacob. No, it's been good. It's been good.
Yeah, it's been great. Thanks, Andy. Thanks for joining us, mate.
No, it's been a pleasure actually being on the show, guys. I love talking about the ZX Spectrum, especially about Codemasters. There's just so many games, and I'm just say, like, if you guys haven't played some of Codemasters' earlier games, definitely give them a go. There's something for everyone out there, definitely.
Awesome, and will do. Before we head off, would you like to tell the world where they can find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at RGDS Podcasts. You can also find me at the RetroGamingDailyShow.com. And why not check out the RGDS Podcast? That's where you can find me. It's a great show. I'm trying to convince everyone. Listen to it, please.
All good. Then you can hear Andy whisper in your ear every morning.
Ooh.
There you go. With a new episode. All right, cool. Bananas. All right, quickly, you can find us at Facebook. The Facebooks. You can also find the Press Play and Tape podcast at podbean.com. And, you can also find the Retro Domination podcast if you want some more retro goodness in your ears at Twitter, Facebook, Podbean, and also at retrodomination.com. And, so we've got lots of podcasts there, articles, etc. And you can find Oz Retro Gamer at...
Oh, jeez. OzRetroGamer.com. And at Oz Retro Gamer on Twitter and, yeah, Facebook, Google+, Instagram, whatnot. So, yeah, man, just give us a yell. We love chatting about anything and everything retro. So, yeah, it's all good. Daz, any shout-outs, mate, to any personal... Or personal shout-outs?
Shout-out, obviously, to Andy. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely.
It's been great. Also, yes, a shout-out to and a big, big thank you to... is Ken De Lavent. Hopefully, I've pronounced your name correctly. But he's just been a godsend. He's based in the UK as well. And he's helped me out twice with ZX Speccy games that I just could not find at a reasonable price. He looked after me a few months ago and got me a complete copy on tape of Myth on the ZX Speccies. And he got it for a good price for me. He shipped it out to me and everything. And he's been awesome. And he just found me a copy of Where Time Stood Still on the Speccy. So, I'm finding that people are trying to sell, flog it off, you know, just at stupid prices now. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he ended up getting it to me posted for £11. So that's actually not too bad.
That's pretty
and
cool.
And that's complete and everything, yeah. Yeah, he's been awesome. You know, I just asked him, I go, look, if you find this cheap, just let me know and we'll just go from there. And yeah, he bought it for me, did everything, and I just fixed him up. And it's easy as pie. And yeah, no, thank you. I really appreciate it. And also a big shout out to my boys at RD. Yeah, love doing what I do with you guys. And also the +3 from Geekdom podcast. Awesome. If you want anything really nerdy like board games and stuff, go there. That's me.
Hell yeah. Well, Andy, if you've got any shout outs, mate, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to sort of like, well, say thank you to you guys, first of all, for having me on the show. But I'd also like to give a big special shout out to the guys from Retro Asylum, my former podcast that I used to be on, and also the guys from Maximum Power Up, which is a great new podcast. And that was another guy that used to be on Retro Asylum. And the new show is amazing as well. Highly recommend them.
Yeah, Paul's a great guy.
Oh, absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. Cool, cool. Alex.
Hell yeah, man. As per usual, my partner in crime is Ars Retro Gamer. And another special shout out to Lee White, whose game Jammit will be released in a week's time. So look out for that.
Oh, yes. Sorry, yeah.
It's a basketball game. What did I describe it as? NBA Jam Tournament Edition Half Court. It's just... it's amazing what this guy has done to the Commodore 64. I would never have thought that a game, yeah, this sort of game could actually be produced on an AP computer. So look out for that in a week's time. We also interviewed him, so we'll put that up on the site pretty soon. And another one, Scott Kellett, nothing to do with the Commodore 64, but he's an absolute pinball connoisseur. So Scott, thank you very much. And he also bought an Oz Retro Gamer t-shirt, so thanks for that, mate. You're a legend. and Andy, obviously, for coming on, mate. We really appreciate it. And Daz, mate, for doing what you do. Just keep on doing it.
Well, thanks, everyone, for listening in. We hope you enjoyed it. I wonder what we're going to have our next episode.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
I was going to say... you should chuck in the Twilight Zone music in there.
yes, we'll do.
Dude, off the mind of a sieve, I do not recall.
So, well, we'll just keep it quiet, and so I'll even, remind you after the recording.
Even I don't know. That's how much top secret it is.
It's funny because this is how the RD podcast used to end back in the day, like when we first started. It's like, Darren, Tim would be like, Darren, so what's happening in the next episode? Oh, it's a secret. Ooh, it's always like that. No, but
I honestly can't recall, mate, so I'm not kidding.
How to cook your chorba the right way.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. All right, cool. All right, guys, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. Thanks again, Andy.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. All right, guys, take it easy, and until next time, yeah, see's.
Play hard. Bye.
That's it. Bye.
Oh no, my daughter!